Will Ferrell guest starred on the NBC series The Office last night in his first of four episodes this season, playing the temporary replacement for Steve Carell's character Michael Scott, the manager of the Scranton branch of the Dunder Mifflin Paper Company. Steve Carell only has two more episodes left before he leaves the show, and fans of the show are wondering who his final replacement will be. We're going to listen back to an interview with Will Ferrell. Let's start with a scene from last night's episode of The Office. Ferrell is trying to assert his own management style, starting by giving some tips to the receptionist. Then Steve Carell walks in, trying to maintain control.
Dunder Mifflin, this is Erin. Okay, let me transfer you.
Why do you use your name when you answer the phone?
Oh, that's how Pam does it. I just copy her. She's sort of a living legend.
Try it without using your name.
Dunder Mifflin. This is. Oh, yeah, I like it.
Dunder Mifflin, how may I assist you?
Oh, assist.
I sort of like the old way.
I just prefer it without the name, and I thought.
Okay. No.
I got to start doing some managing at some point, right?
I know, I'm sorry. But if it's not a big deal, we should just do the old way.
It really isn't.
Okay. But good?
Yeah, okay.
All
good.
Right.
Well, I'd like to change it, actually.
Well, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you think would work.
What do you
I think a change would be nice.
You could do the old way or the, you know, whichever one you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Change it.
I'm so sorry.
When I spoke with Will Ferrell in 2006, he told me about an office job he had early on.
You know, I had a period of time kind of post-college when I moved back home for 3 years, a long 3 years, and I worked as a bank teller.
No, really?
Yeah, and you know, I was just starting to explore, you know, taking theater classes and stand-up and those sorts of things. But for the most part, I was kind of back at home, driving from point A to point B and counting money. And I didn't have much of a social life, and because a lot of my friends had gone on to real jobs and things like that.
Did you do shtick when you were a bank teller? Did you like impersonate your version of what a bank teller would be?
No, in fact, I was so I found the job so nerve wracking that I got so quiet because I had to focus with every aspect. I would make one transaction and then shut my window down for 15 minutes to make sure everything was still there, and. And one day it slipped out that I did stand-up comedy, and one of the managers came up to me and just stared at me and was like, "You're funny? I don't believe it." And I said, "Well, yeah, I can be." I go, "You'll have to come see a show." And so it was kind of my alter ego that outside of work I had this place to kind of, you know, go crazy up on stage.
So when you went to, like, audition for Saturday Night Live, the story goes that you took a trunk of, like, a suitcase of Monopoly money with you so that you could do what?
Well, I had read somewhere that Adam Sandler had gone and had a meeting with Lorne Michaels and had gone into this meeting kind of sight unseen and had done this really funny bit and where he, I don't know, mimicked having sex with a chair or something and was hired on the spot. And I thought, well, I'm gonna follow that. Like, be funny in the room and kind of take advantage, you know, of the moment, kind of seize the day type of attitude. So I thought what would be really funny is if I walk in with a briefcase full of toy money and just start piling it on his desk and say, "Lauren, look, we can talk, you know, till the cows come home, but we really know what talks, and that's money. And I'm going to walk out of this room, and you can either take this money or leave it on your desk. I'll never know the difference." And hopefully he'd think it's funny that I stacked all this fake counterfeit money. But when I got in, the atmosphere was so intense that I never got to my big joke, and I just sat there with my briefcase in my lap. Which, when I left, it felt insane because I remember I was thinking, well, he must be thinking, what comedian walks in with a briefcase and just sits there nervously? And so I never, and then we had another meeting where I tried to do it again, and the assistant said, "Oh, leave your briefcase. You don't need that." And then that was, lo and behold, that was the meeting where he told me I had the job. And then as I left, I gave a handful of the fake money to the assistant. I was like, "Can you please give this to him? It's kind of symbolic." And I tried to do this twice, but I could never do it. So can you give him this fake money? And in hindsight, he thought it was really funny that I'd tried twice to do this gag, and it never kind of came to fruition.
One of the impressions that you did on Saturday Night Live, one of the characters you did was James Lipton from the Actors Studio broadcast.
Yes.
That was always so much fun.
It was kind of amazing how much James Lipton loved the impression, so much so that he had me come on his 100th episode as him. And we did an interview back and forth where we he asked me questions. Which was very surreal as he stood over my shoulder watching me get into makeup saying, "Yes, the transformation has begun. I'm watching you becoming me." And it was very, and he watched the whole 30 minutes it takes me to get in that makeup. And I was like, you can go get a sandwich if you want at some point, you know. And he was like, "No, this is fascinating." one of the many interesting things that has happened to me.
Did you notice things sitting across the table from him that you hadn't noticed watching on TV?
Not really. I don't know. I think if anything I noticed was I felt like, I think I slightly underplay him. I could go even bigger.
Let's actually hear you doing James Lipton on Saturday Night Live. So this is Will Ferrell.
On the 13th of January, 1931, right here in New York City, magic happened. An artist was born that would rival Leonardo da Vinci or Michelangelo. But his tools would not be pen, nor brush, nor chisel, nor palette. His tools would be his comically oversized glasses and his soul. So please, welcome the greatest performer ever to have graced this earth, Charles Nelson Reilly.
That's Will Ferrell doing James Lipton. And later in the sketch, Charles Nelson Reilly is played by Alec Baldwin. Yeah. So how do you study somebody like Lipton when you're doing an impersonation of him? Like, what is your process of watching somebody, whether it's Lipton or President Bush?
I usually have to just pick one key thing and then emphasize that again and again and again, and then hope that the rest kind of fills in. But with with Bush, I as I tried to work on him vocally, I really just worked on it more from the way he kind of scrunched up his face and kind of squinted his eyes and almost started from that approach. And with Lipton, I just tried to over enunciate. And so I usually try to key on one thing where, you know, when you speak to someone like Daryl Hammond, who's still on Saturday Night Live, he is such a kind of a scientist about it. He can tell you that a person has had, you know, dental work because of the way they pop their T's and this and that. He can listen to every single thing. And I'm not able to do that. So I would just kind of find one key thing to hone in on.
Do you ever have anxiety dreams about your work?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think anyone who has, you know, is in any sort of artistic pursuit kind of goes up and down with the way they feel about their work. And I for the most part, am a pretty happy person. But, yeah, I go through definite periods of time where I'm not funny, I'm not good, I don't feel original. I'm always joking with my wife that, when I get kicked out of show business, I'm always trying to think of alternate careers. And so far I've
bank
come
teller.
Up with cab driver. I can go back to bank teller, maybe UPS too. UPS is high on the list. But yeah, you definitely have anxiety.
So can you share an anxiety dream, like a the kind of dream that you have about comedy and something going terribly wrong?
Well, I'll still have like Saturday Night Live stress dreams where mm-hmm. the show has started and I'm making a quick change backstage and the microphone in my dressing room wasn't on, so I didn't hear that the show started, or the speaker, I mean, and I have to run out in the middle of a sketch and figure out where I am and things like that.
What's the worst thing that actually did happen to you live on the air on Saturday Night Live?
You know what? I was doing an update feature where on Weekend Update on the fake news section, you know, characters will sometimes come out, and I was my glasses started fogging up to where I couldn't read the cue cards, and then I started laughing, and it was this kind of this wonderful kind of crazy situation of I was having this laughing attack and I can't see anything, and I literally kind of had to just stop and wipe off my glasses and then get back to reading the cue cards. So it was actually kind of really fun, free fall of like, oh, well, there's no way to rescue this. But the audience kind of loves it in a way when they're watching that happen.
So did you stay in character while you were wiping off your
yeah,
glasses?
Yeah, I did. It was, I did this character who suffered from voice immodulation, which was someone who I only could speak like this. I had no control of the volume of my voice. So whether I was speaking intimately or shouting, it was the same voice level. So I would have asides to myself, like, boy, I don't think, you know, she doesn't smell very good. You know, so it would be, so I could never have a private moment and that I was afflicted with this disease and people didn't think it was a real disease and I was the champion of this thing. It was very, it's bizarre.
Well, Will Ferrell, it's just been great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
You too, Terry. Thanks. It's been my pleasure.
Will Ferrell, recorded in 2006. He will appear in 3 more episodes of The Office. His new movie, Everything Must Go, will be shown at the Tribeca Film Festival next week. It opens in theaters in May. This is Fresh Air.